anyone know what channel the game's on? We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
Welcome to the Men's Room Happy Hour, broadcast exclusively on Odyssey. Let the shenanigans begin.
Paul Michalis, welcome to Men's Room Happy Hour, episode number 28. Thank you for joining us exclusively on Odyssey and the Odyssey app for our little once-of-a-week spectacular here. A couple of notes here for you. If you are listening to this on Friday morning and you did not get tickets to Live Day, which is going down December the 13th, that is a Friday night at Showbox Soto. Those tickets will be on sale at 10 a.m. this morning. So if you're listening to it after 10 a.m., just know tickets are already on sale. If not, get ready to go. If you are a Rockaholic Club member, you missed the pre-sale. That was actually on Wednesday, but into Thursday. But
missed
either way,
it.
You missed it. But you still have a chance to get tickets now. We are actively working on this year's Live Day, which is great. Showbox Soto is one of our favorite places as far as party times.
Oh, yeah.
Weird instances.
There's a lot of pregame area down there, too, which is fun.
We used to do a lot of events there, and it's not just like on-air staff. Right? Like, we used to, you know, one of the front desk girls, like, people would always be like, people just get hammered there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then somebody would always be like, I think I got roofied, this and that. I'm like, dude, I was drinking the same spot with you. Like, you didn't get roofied. Like,
you got fucked up.
Yeah. And then the other thing, too, is it's Friday evening. So, like, I don't know. I feel like Saturday, either you got to do stuff or you're watching a sport. Like, Friday after work, it's like, let's go fucking bang some shots.
Right. We were down there one night. Steve and myself were supposed to interview Slash. He just came out with a book, and I want to say that he and the co-conspirators were playing there that night. However,
what's the name of the band, man?
I know. It just sounds like Miles calling him a criminal.
I know. Kind of.
Yeah. Well, Miles Kennedy probably is. But is it just the conspirators or is it the co-conspirators? I can't remember.
Co-conspirators.
Is that right? Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so there's like a meet and greet with Slash. That's taking place in the afternoon, maybe five.
Just conspirators.
Conspirators.
Oh, is it?
Okay.
So Slash is a good guy.
Yeah.
And then So Slash is innocent, the rest of the band criminals.
Hmm. Okay. So we get down there because I think about maybe 20 listeners are going to either get their book signed, a picture, whatever the deal is with Slash. But we also have an opportunity to interview him. So we're down there for that. And maybe we're supposed to do this at 5, let's say. So we get down there a little bit early. We definitely pregame. The bar is open, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Steve and I take full advantage of the bar. And then we hear from the record rep that either this is going to run a little bit late, or he's not ready to go yet, or he's not there, or I don't know what
either
the
way,
deal was.
The assigned time is not going to happen.
It ends up
whatever
being,
fluffy bullshit you put on the other side, like he's going to be late.
Ends up being about 6:30. You know, about an hour and a half.
Okay.
Listeners are there. We are at the bar. We are just absolutely putting it on. I mean,
you guys are trashed at this point.
We have the afternoon.
Absolutely. By the time we talked to Slash, hell yeah.
We were fucking hammered, man. And this is a guy that's sober.
Right.
He is a sober dude, and he could clearly tell he is talking to two guys that are absolutely fucking hammered. So we did the interview. It wasn't the worst interview in the world. I don't think it was.
It really wasn't even bad.
Did it ever air?
I don't know.
I don't think you could air that one. I don't even know if we had, like, the app back then. I think there was cussing and all that kind of thing. Because you're at a club, and again, we're hammered, and we couldn't stop making fun of his big fat fucking sausage fingers.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. It went exactly how you thought it would go.
Oh, my God.
And then I'm pretty sure we ended up. What is the bar across the street? Is it
Hooverville?
Hooverville.
I know it starts with an H. Yeah. That's a cool bar. There's a big back. If you walk all the way in the back, there's a back room area. It's kind of like outdoors ish. That's a good spot, man. That's a
right.
So, anyway, we got fucking hammered. That was I think that was the last time we did anything work related down there. Maybe
I don't know. I don't remember the last thing we did at Showbox related to work. I've been there since a couple of times, but I don't know the last KISW thing we did there.
No,
I don't know.
I mean, I've done a couple stagers down there for like Chevelle and a couple other bands.
I don't think in my professional career I've done anything down there at Soto. I've been down there for a couple concerts, but I don't think
I've
been
called
down
there. So that's what, 10, 11, 12
years at
this point?
Yeah, we used to do rock girl galas down there. That's where I got bit that one night
yeah.
up in the dressing room. Just had weird fucking experiences. Like, I don't know. Just, you never really realize who's in town or who's stopping by to see who. I can't remember the fucking show.
I don't remember. I remember the event, but I couldn't tell you any of the bands.
One night, I'm talking to this dude, and we're just talking about random shit, just like, you know, just shooting the shit upstairs in the dressing area in the lounge. And finally, I'm like, dude, I'm sorry, man. I'm Miles. What's your name? He's like, I'm Gilby. I was like, Gilby, nice to meet you, man. Are you from Seattle? You know, he's like, nah, man, I came up here from L.A. I got some friends I'm hanging out with and doing some recording. I'm like, oh, no shit, you're a musician. He said, yeah. I used to be I was a guitarist in Guns N' Roses. I was like, fucking Gilby Clark?
Yeah, he's exactly.
Like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, my God, what the fuck are you doing here, man? Because it wasn't like this big, it wasn't like Duff was playing. Or,
no, nothing like
it
that.
It wasn't like, he was just hanging out, drinking beers. I'm like, God, what in the fuck? I've been talking to this guy for like 15 minutes, having a great conversation just about everything.
Sure.
Sure.
I have no idea it's Gilby Clark, which I saw the incarnation of Guns N' Roses with Gilby Clark because he was on the Use Your Illusion tour.
Right.
And I saw them on that tour with Metallica. And I told him, I was like, look, man, I saw you in Pittsburgh in Three River Stadium when you were opening up for, at that point in time, they were opening up for Metallica.
Yeah.
Because Axl Rose could never make it to the fucking stage on time, and they were having problems in between Metallica that, you know, you had noise ordinances and shit like that. And there was also an opening band, Living Color. They opened up, so it was a three-band tour. But they couldn't let Guns N' Roses close the show because Axl would never come out of the fucking dressing room.
Right.
Oh, God.
So back to Slash, you're supposed to do it at 5. He doesn't go on stage till 6:30. Axl was doing the same thing.
But Slash was not getting high.
Correct.
But there's the big difference between those two things. He wasn't getting high. He was just tied up with management shit.
So the night goes later and later and later and later, and he wouldn't go on stage. So when I saw him, that was the point where, and something happened at a previous show. Like, there was a couple weird things that happened on that tour. There was a stage implosion that blew up James Hetfield. He kind of stepped back.
Oh, yeah.
Into the pyrotechnics and got all fucked up. So they postponed it for a little while or something like that. But anyway, I said, when you guys went on, I will never forget this because where I'm sitting, I am right on the edge of an overhang in Three Rivers. The place is packed, right? And as soon as Guns N' Roses takes the stage, it just starts fucking dumping rain. I mean, it is.
Oh, no.
Dumping rain. We're all drunk. We don't really care as far as the fan base goes. You know, we're just like, yeah.
Sure, party on.
Man, and you have, like, all the things that they do on stage, you could see the puddles forming on the stage.
Right.
So, like, Axl running around, they had all these, you know, rafter, like, kind of runway shit.
Yeah.
They're all just kind of tiptoeing around, kicking puddles. What the fuck's the guy's name? Oh, shit. I can't remember his name. But anyway, he was jumping up and down in one of the puddles, a guy from Living Color.
There you go.
Because, Corey Glover.
Yeah, because Living Color, then Guns N' Roses. It was raining, but it wasn't pouring.
Sure.
Yeah. So when Guns N' Roses went on, it was fucking pouring. And they were just, and the weird thing is they wore the same, like, painter-type outfits that they do in the video, like all white with, like, the
Living Color
colors on them and all that stuff. So they look like just, I don't know, it looked like, a bunch of guys who work for Wonder Bread, like jumping in mud puddles. But he's like, yeah, man, I remember. Because Gilby Clark is sober. He's like, yeah, man, I remember that show. He's like, it only rained like twice on us the entire tour because it was a stadium tour.
Yeah.
And one of those tours was Pittsburgh. And so we just talked about that shit. And I was just like, wow, I just talked to Gilby Clark. That was a weird experience. Because, I mean, Guns N' Roses was probably my favorite band at that point in time.
Oh, yeah.
When he was in it. So.
Wild.
So December 13th at Soto, we got that
Friday
going
Friday the 13th.
Friday night. I don't believe Spooky. We're on the air that day. Yeah. Good times. Also, we do have an announcement, courtesy of Black Raven, coming our way on Monday. A very cool thing.
Very cool.
For the holiday season.
Oh, absolutely.
So we'll make that announcement about 4:30. Yes, it involves beer, obviously.
Of course.
So we've
got a holiday food truck.
That's right. With our name on it.
With Black Raven. Like, wait a minute. None of you guys do food.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's on tap for Monday. Ted, what the hell did you say you wanted to tell us what was going on?
All right, so I went to a bar last night. It was super packed, but they were doing trivia.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the categories while we were in there was mascots.
Mascots!
Right, so I elbowed my buddy, and I was like, this is fucking going to be easy. One of them is a question you've asked on Big Dummy.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Pillsbury Doughboy, what is his new name?
He has Poppin' a new name.
Fresh, I believe.
Poppin' Fresh.
Poppin' Fresh. Hey, the guy that does trivia there, is it like that? The guy that sounds like B-52's guy? All right, everybody. He's got the mustache and beard.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that guy, he calls me, hello, radio guy. But he does sound like the guy from B-52. So I guess he recently started listening to the show. He was asking me about Big Dummy. And I said, brother, if you ever want to use any of the questions I ask for trivia, go ahead. So I don't know if he picked that one from Big Dummy or not, but I told him, dude, if you listen to it and you enjoy it, yeah.
Does he have a video screen up, like, where you can see or hear? Is it one of those trivia
things? He has a video screen where you can see your scores.
All right. Okay.
It has the scores of the teams.
But like I said, it was so crowded, we couldn't get a seat.
Did you get Poppin' Fresh?
No.
Damn it, Ted.
I looked at my buddy and I go, I'm disappointed in myself.
Yeah.
But here was the question that seemed like a softball, easy question that Joe and I realized we were the old people in the bar. The mascot, what is the mascot's name in the 80s for Colombian coffee?
Oh, is that Juan Valdez?
All right.
All right. Got it. Yeah.
I was shocked how many people got that wrong.
I am Juan Valdez.
Yeah.
He was like Ricardo Montalban.
He was so cool. He made you want to drink coffee.
Do you think he inspired the most interesting man in the world?
They're all kind of the same.
But when you think about how they portrayed Juan Valdez, like, he made picking coffee beans cool. And it's not. But you like the guy, right?
Then you fast forward. He seemed like a legit farmer from Colombia. And, like, he's just like, I've got the best.
Hey, look, man, if he's a legit farmer from Colombia, he ain't growing coffee.
He ain't got coffee. It'll wake you up, but it's not coffee.
I'm on about that. Well, it's funny because you know he's not a Colombian coffee bean farmer, right? You know it's an actor, but the most interesting man in the world, right? It's this Mexican man who does all of these incredible things around the world.
Yeah.
Well, they interviewed the dude. It's like, yeah, I'm a Jewish guy from the Bronx, bro. But, but he had the look they wanted, right?
Just
do the accent, say stay thirsty. That blew my mind.
The old Native American who's crying because of litter.
Littering.
Right? He was an Italian.
Yeah, he was an Italian dude.
Hey, Bob Fangul, you fucking litterer.
Hey, pick your shit up.
Go fuck yourself.
I mean, look.
Fucking trashy fuck.
Pick up your
pick
trash.
That fucking shit up, you fucking
I love
fucker.
Smokey the Bear, actually a raccoon.
Smokey Bear.
Yes. Damn it. Damn it, you're right.
I won a raccoon out of the claw machine last night.
Did you? How many attempts?
I have $5, so you get 4 attempts.
Okay.
Why the fuck was Smokey the Bear in the news this week?
Smokey Bear.
What was that?
No fucking. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It was his hot air balloon.
That's what it was.
His hot air balloon took down the radio tower.
Going back to, I guess they've had.
It was 20 years ago.
Yeah, so they had a balloon that crashed into a radio tower this year.
In Albuquerque during their big hot air balloon festival.
Oh, okay.
And knocked the tower. Okay, a couple things. Yeah, so knocks the tower all the way down. And the balloon safely lands anyway.
Right.
But
it knocked the station off air. It's been this 50-year heritage news station. Now, they're just off the air because the tower collapsed.
You would think that wind, that a lot of things could topple that tower. I would not assume that a wicker basket, I know they're heavy.
About to say, dude, that's a lot of weight they're towing around.
You would think the basket would bounce off of the tower, that the tower would be strong
enough. You would think.
But apparently not. So anyway, So they brought up, this is not the first time this has happened at the Great Balloon Fiesta, or whatever they call this thing in Albuquerque.
This is
the second one.
Every balloon, of course, is loaded with green chili.
it's the same.
Because it's New Mexico. Yeah. You can't have anything without a fucking chili on it.
They throw pizzas out that Danny V likes.
Dino's.
Dino's.
Yeah. Dino's. So they, so this time, same tower, it did not go down, but Winnie the Pooh,
no,
Smokey Bear. Oh, Smokey Bear crashes bear. into this tower. But in this instance, the balloon gets hung up on the tower. So there was like a 9-year-old and a dude, and they had, I think it was his son.
Yeah.
They had to climb down that radio tower because the basket in the balloon was hanging from the top of it. So they had to climb down that tower, man. And I can't think of anything more terrifying in my life
than having to climb down a radio tower.
At least the one, like, I worked at a radio station in Hagerstown where the towers were on the site because we were on a farmland and it was a building. So you literally could look out the window and check the tower lights. Because typically you press a button inside just to see, you know, are all the lights working. So,
and then you have to hope that the mechanism you're using to tell you whether or not the lights are on in the tower is accurate. Because one time at the station we used to work at LIF, all right? Same thing. If you're working overnight.
1300?
The other one was WLIF. But so, you know, other side of the window, basically.
All right.
So I had to run over there, check the tower lights. And this is super, super important.
Oh, yeah.
You check these lights so that aircraft don't smash into them, right? And so every single night you go through, if your tower has, like, say, five lights.
Every 2 hours.
You check every single light on there. Well, I had to call our engineer. I'm like, Ray, fuck, man. I don't know what to do. But it says, like, two of our tower lights are out, you know? And this is, like, 4 a.m, man. So you just don't want anything tragic to happen. And Ray's like, oh, shit, yeah. Man, I got to get back in there. It's the board. I'm like, what? He's like, the tower's fine, but the board is. I'm like, man, fix this shit.
So you could see that ladder. And the ladder was on the exterior of the tower. Ugh. So you're not in the
inside. By the way, those baskets weigh generally between 100 and 300.
All right, okay.
Plus a handful of people inside.
You can see that ladder up there. I'm like, no fucking way.
No.
There's no platform to stop.
Right.
It is literally a straight shot. Like, you look at a crane operator, he's got a couple places where there's a platform.
Sure.
Take a break or whatever. That is straight to the top of it. I would go, though. So what the FCC makes you do is you log on to their FCC log when you get on the air. And then from there, you check all the FCC required things. As far as the tower lights and all the different, the transmitter, how much power it's putting out, depending on the time of day. You check all these different things. And I would work the overnights. There were days would go by where, like, I would even work an 8-hour shift from Saturday morning till Sunday morning at 8. So Saturday at midnight till 8 o'clock on Sunday morning.
Ugh.
And at 7:30 in the morning, I'd be like, ah, fuck, I forgot to fill out the FCC.
Yeah.
So I go and fudge every fucking number. But the bottom line is if a plane were to have flown
into that
tower, I am fucked.
Right.
I am fucked. Because once you sign onto that log,
you are responsible.
It's your responsibility.
Correct.
It's not the stations. It's not the FCC. It's yes, I'm sure somebody could sue the station because they hired your ass.
Right.
But it really is your ass.
That's your ass. Period.
It's your
and that's
ass on the
daunting
line.
When you sign that log.
It's terrifying.
It makes it real for the first time. Like, oh, no. This is on you.
Mm-hmm. And especially stuff like that, because again, if the tower lights are fully operational, it does not mean that my board's going to reflect that, because our old friend Ray there forgot to change the fuse. Or just because it says they're all on, like I said, if you don't have eyesight of your tower, which we don't hear, I was never caught. Like, I'm going to sign what I see. I'm signing this because this thing says it's cool. But if those lights aren't on, brother, I don't know anything about it.
And you did exactly what you were supposed to do.
That's exactly it.
But still, everything works 98% of the time.
You don't want to kill people.
Right, but the first couple times that you sign that log, it kind of makes your heart drop a little bit. Like, if a curse word gets out over these airwaves, I am
because they audit this shit. And I don't have to sign it here, so I don't know. But they were on it every single day when I was in Baltimore. I was running the board. Like, if you sign that log, man, your shit got audited. And every day, they let you know what you did right or wrong.
Yeah, they bring you forgot to sign out on it, or you forgot to do this.
Anything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Barrett would come down all the time.
Yeah,
you right, like end of the week or whatever. Like, didn't sign this, didn't do that. And 1300, that tower had like multiple lights.
Yes,
and it seemed like the system you were checking it on was super old.
It was.
So same thing. Like, sometimes some of the other ones would go out, and you'd call the same engineer and be like, "Is it the top one? No, I don't care."
I mean, pretty much.
I mean, look, you want to hear a horrible story. I don't know if I've ever told this. I probably wouldn't tell it on the air. I used to be the executive producer of the Navy Football Network.
All right.
Navy fucking sucked, Mike.
Okay.
They were so bad, right? They couldn't beat anybody. They were getting their shit stomped in by like 40, 50 points. So for a couple years I ran it, nobody listened. It was like their big promotion, they'll remember, was come see Bill the Goat.
Yeah, that was
like hang out with the fucking mascot. So one day I'm running it, but I'm just not thinking, and I had a bunch of stuff up on the board. I don't know if we cursed, but it's just you could hear me and Bernie just chatting on a phone call.
Because
I had pulled it up on the board so I could hear it in the speakers while listening to the game and knowing when to hit stuff. And then finally, somebody called in, and I'm like, this is weird. It's calling the studio. And they're like, dude, your whole conversation's on the air right now. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that's a bad,
thanks,
bad
feel. Thanks, Ray Hoffman.
It was unbelievable. That was the same station running that where I left the Zephyr on. And thank God.
Oh, that costs money.
Yeah,
because it communicates with the satellite.
Right. So I had left it. I had to do it for a Saturday game. Should have turned it off at like 4:30. That fucker was up all weekend. I mean, it was a four-figure fuck-up.
And the thing that I hated about these Zephyrs, all right, we are the sports station. In this cluster, we are the only station that deals with sports. We're the only station that takes outside feeds, period.
So if but the they Zephyrs still are left on.
No, but they located these fucking things literally at the farthest point you could go.
Oh, it was brutal.
But, like, you're talking about doing Navy football, okay? So, granted, nobody's listening except maybe the ball somewhere. So you go to this commercial break, and in 3 minutes, you got to get out of the studio, get down to the Zephyr. And when you get to the Zephyr, it's not like you press a button. It was basically a dial-up phone.
Right.
So you got to dial in, you know, 7749*6. Wait for it to fucking connect, which there's no guarantees.
Yeah.
And get back to the fucking studio in time to start the next program. Keep in mind, that next program is running on the Zephyr that may or may not connect with the satellite. So every once in a while, they'd flip your shit on a Monday, like, what happened Saturday between the Baltimore Blast and blah, blah, blah. The piece of shit that's in the farthest point of the fucking hall, man. Why don't you move them into the studio? They never, that made no, it's like, if you start your car, you're, I don't know, basically you have to put your keys in your house door. That starts the car, but if you don't get back to your car in 3 seconds, they're going to start driving without you. Basically, that's what it was like.
Yeah. I had to deal with that kind of stuff when we had our syndication. So the way that we ran the syndication is that the studio that we're currently in right now, like we've always in this studio, we always broadcast out of this studio. But when Robin was here, she was producing the actual live show, and I was technically the Seattle affiliate of the Men's Room Radio Network. So what you guys were hearing was actually the feed off of the satellite that was being broadcast out live, and I had to go dial up those damn things every damn time. And to your point, they were not reliable. We had to get it down to the second when we actually went into breaks, when we brought in the show, and we actually timed all that out. We mathed all that out. And I remember there was one time, and this actually happened on the live video. I did the live video every day before the show, and I had everything dialed up. I'm all good to go. I'm doing my live video. I am airing it inside the KISW studio, and I'm getting everything coming in, and I'm bringing in the show. Now, usually as this song is ending, you can start hearing the la-la bed as we get into the little previously and the rewind that we do. This time, the song ends, and then I don't know what weird 2020, snapped program they had signed us up for, but they had channeled the wrong satellite on our feed.
No.
So the song ends, it's like, you know, Give It Away by Red Hot Chili Peppers, and it's like, a woman was murdered inside of her own home. Cops arrived on the scene. I was like, oh, my God. So luckily, I have the feed here, but I'm immediately calling people over in Colorado. I have to send an email out to all the affiliates. Dude, when we started doing this, it was so time sensitive that the way that they had it is I had to upload the different segments of the show because not everybody took it down from a satellite feed necessarily. Some of them, there was just a bank that I would deliver it in and it would automatically put it into their systems to run, kind of like a music file would. So
we
got different, picture your Spotify list. You have all your songs in there. Okay, we'll just replace some of those songs with actual talk radio like a podcast. So that's how it would work. And they had this quote-unquote sweeping hand that would run through my file at like 6:10 every day that would then grab all of the segments that I've doctored up and they'd spew them out to these stations. The problem is that the recording equipment that we had for me to use that audio, I didn't get the last hour of the show until like 6:08.
Are you kidding?
So I had like 4 minutes to download that audio, chop it up, throw it into the system, and get it ready to go. I had a 60% success rate. I had to call them so many damn times, like, can you resend the doggone sweeping hand so we can reset all these doggone...
That's way too tight
it
of a window.
Sucked, but it's sucked your, to work right. with, dude.
Your by the way, speaking idiots. Of Robin, and I don't want to give up too much here, but contacted me earlier today. We will be hearing from Robin with some normalcy in the near
future. Hopefully, yeah.
If we can. Oh, dude, she was all about it. Yeah. She was all about it.
Ted, I got a good story for you for considering Navy football did suck back in the day, but I was working at a station that it was kind of an LMA, so it's getting ready to be bought.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I worked at, and Pat Sajak was one of the people who was going to he and a couple of investors were, they had the, whatever, Jen and I Broadcasting, whatever the name. But either way, I worked at a station downtown, but we also had WNAV on 50 near the highway. Now, I was a production director for both. So when I was doing production, like most of the time, there was a box that said like 2 WNAV on our front desk. So anytime, if it was mail, carts that I would send out,
yeah,
somebody's going to be there Monday, most of the time, Monday through Friday, to be able to take that stuff over to the other building, whether it's, you know, production reels or whatever the deal is, right? Well, Friday afternoon was pretty typical of no salespeople coming into the office, so no one would go over there. And I would have all this, like, tons of carts that were actual, like, A-tracks. There were commercials that would play during Navy football. They weren't the flagship stuff. They were the local avails for the local places in Annapolis. So I would have all this stuff, and I would take it over there. So one Friday afternoon, I go up to the box, because that's where you pass when you walk out. I'm like, shit, all this shit, and not one fucking person from NAV was over here all day long to take anything over there. I'll take it over. Not a big deal. It's on my way. So I stop by WNAV, and the woman who's running the front desk, because people, like salespeople, put in late orders. So she's like redoing logs and stuff.
Can they redo this?
Which is part of her job, and she's all just fucking pissed off, and she was already... She was a woman who enjoyed her beverage, you could tell. And she was the one who, like, every time I pulled up, she's outside, she's smoking a cigarette as fast as she's fucking good. Like, you gave me too much fucking work, you these fucking idiots. But she was cool. So I go there, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? It's 6 o'clock, you know? She's like, ah, goddamn, I've got to put this fucking in, I got to change all these fucking logs on this fucking commercial shit, blah, blah, blah. She's like, hey, we have like 4 tickets to the Navy game tomorrow. Do you want these tickets? Because winners didn't come pick them up. I'm like, well, sure, fuck yeah, who are they playing? Notre Dame. And I'm like, they're playing Notre Dame? She's like, yeah. I'm like, hell yeah, I'll take the tickets. So I call my buddy Scott and my girlfriend slash wife at the time. I think she was my girlfriend then. Anyway, we go down, and my buddy Scott knows somebody who tailgates at Navy football.
All right.
And it's a very small little grass lot. It's like you're almost like, it's like you're walking into someone's backyard. It's the most bizarre fucking thing. The entire stadium was full of East Coast Notre Dame fans. It was not full to capacity. This stadium, it's not high school size, but there are high schools in Texas that have bigger stadiums.
Well, for sure.
Than what Navy does. It was so weird to, like, I felt like I was, I don't know, 10 feet away from Lou Holtz. You know, like, he was just right there. I mean, our seats were pretty good.
Yeah, Navy had some really down years. So, like, now when they play Notre Dame, they play at, like, the Raven Stadium or something.
Yeah,
but there were so many down years, they would just play at Marine Corps Stadium, which, again, it is a college stadium. But it's not. It's right there on the line of, like, whatever the smallest a D1 college stadium
could be. That's what you
get. It is.
Yeah, so that was one of the cooler experiences I had. Because, to be honest with you, up until that point, I had not seen a college football game. I mean, I'd been on the field, but
that's different than playing.
But you don't really see the action when you're kicking into a net or it's just hard to watch the game on the sidelines, period. So I'd never been in the stands yet after getting done playing football in college. So I hadn't been to a live football game, and I'm like, this is fucking awesome. Like, this is it was basically the Naval Academy in one side where they sit, and there wasn't another Navy fan.
Right.
Also, they have the same colors, so it's kind of hard to determine.
Blue. Navy, gold and blue.
Yeah, like Navy blue. So it was.
You could tell who it was because one team scored.
Yeah,
right.
That's Notre Dame.
But I passed.
It was just nothing, but it was a sea of Notre Dame people at us.
But you bring up the idea of, I never saw a college football game. I played in them, but you got, like, it's a different experience.
I didn't play. I was on the sidelines. I just couldn't
see. But
still,
so
you're on the team.
I talked to my brother Wednesday, and kind of giving him shit about the Monday night game, and he's like, look, teams don't fuck up, we don't call. I mean, he's just like, look, they're sloppy teams, you do what you got to do. And he goes, and it's fine. He goes, it was very busy. And he goes, to be honest with you, it's kind of fun, because he goes, like, that's what we do, and these two teams played in such a way that we were hustling, we're going through all this crap, and so what about your back to the camera? He's like, yeah, fuck, man, I realized it later, but you don't want to pivot halfway. He's like, just stick with it. But And I said, look, man, you know, I got all these emails and shit, and there's still all these conspiracy theorists that they care about this team. And I explained, man, not to break your heart, they don't fucking care about your team. And he goes, we honestly don't. We care about the sport. But he goes, Steven, And he goes, I mean this honestly. He goes, Monday night, we knew the game was crazy because of the number of calls, some of the shit going on the field and all that. And he goes, but we go to halftime. He goes, I'm not making this up. I had to pull out my fucking phone, go to ESPN to find out what the goddamn score was. He's like, we don't fucking care. And he said, so the thing is, when he went to the locker room.
What was it, 13 to 20?
I don't remember. Maybe? But he's like, I asked the other officials. They're like, we don't fucking know, man. It's like, we don't care.
They're just watching the
they
action.
They legitimately. Right, right, yeah, and he goes, because the crowd was into it because the game was close. We knew that. But he's like, I did not know who was winning. I did not know what the score was, so I had to go on ESPN and go like, oh, shit, this is a pretty good goddamn game, man.
That's what we thought.
It's exactly, he's like, yeah, man. So, bitches never wonder about bias. There is none. They don't give a shit.
Enjoy the weekend there. Don't forget, we have an announcement for you on 4:30 Monday about the beer, and the tickets are on sale now for KISW Live Night, December 13th, Showbox Soda.
Yeah. Meantime, I'm saying this in a good way. Fuck yourself. You know what I mean.
This room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.